Hi, and welcome to the Win-Win Podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Simawong. Join us as we dive into changing trends in the workplace and how to navigate them successfully. A study conducted by the Content Marketing Institute and LinkedIn reported that 80% of content created by marketing teams goes unused by sales. So how can organizations make sure that the content they create is not only relevant for sales, but being used in the right ways? Here to discuss this topic is Sarah Hughes, the Senior Manager of Marketing Operations, and Lindsay Simons, the Senior Director of Acquisition Marketing at Limeade. Thank you both so much for joining us. I would love for each of you to tell us a little bit about your background and your roles. So Sarah, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I've been at Limeade for just over 6 years now, and I have played many different roles on the marketing team here, from project management to marketing operations, and have quite a bit of experience using HighSpot and how to really leverage it for our organization.
Welcome. And Lindsay, how about a little bit of background on yourself?
Hi. Yes, I'm Lindsay, and I've been at Limeade for 9 years. Started off smiling and dialing in an inside sales position. And today I am the Senior Director of Acquisition Marketing. So the budget line item for HighSpot is under me, and so is sales enablement. A couple other fun programs too that we've made HighSpot a key part of the function. But yeah, excited to be here today.
Wonderful. I'm excited to have you both here. Now, prior to HighSpot, tell me, what were some of the challenges that your organization was facing, and how is that kind of impacting your roles in the marketing world? Sarah, if I could send this one to you, I'd love to hear your perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the biggest issues that we had in our organization, we're a SharePoint org, so we have all of our files and all of our documents there. But one thing that was very difficult for us to control and manage was version control. The introduction of HighSpot really helped us kind of leverage the tool in order to not only protect the content that we have, but also protect our employees so that they're leveraging the latest and greatest, and that we're, so all of sales and marketing is really singing from the same songbook. So that's something that was a huge issue for us, especially as, you know, in marketing, you're constantly revving and iterating on all of your different assets and things, and constantly trying to stay as current and up to date as possible. And so that was one of the biggest reasons we really got HighSpot, you know, and signed on. And in addition to just the need for sales enablement, and really enabling our sales teams to do the best work that they can with the materials that we would create for them.
And just on that sales, the sales enablement part of it all, I think is, for a while there, marketing became almost a service counter for just content. And then the content would be in the wild and we're like, how's it going out there, content? And this really helped us start to be a leader and to proactively say, here's the content, how to use it, when to use it in a playbook style, and then have great insights into, oh, they are actually using it. And if so, this is how. For a while there, we were flying blind with content and just saying yes. And so I think that was a huge shift. And now the team just knows it as sales enablement. But for a while there was a lot of pain.
Oh, I bet. And so how have you overcome some of those challenges? You guys have touched on it a little bit, but how have you overcome some of these challenges since implementing HighSpot?
Yeah, so we've actually integrated our HighSpot instance with our SharePoint so that we're updating it in one location on SharePoint once we've gotten maybe new content, new creative, new angles, and even embracing new industries that we might be selling to, things like that, and creating custom content by uploading it to SharePoint and having that integration with HighSpot, it's able to stay automatically up to date with the latest and greatest. And there is a sort of, I keep going back to the version control piece, but that is such a huge piece, especially as messaging is constantly changing. And it's also helped us really create and sort of form that link between marketing and sales so that they know exactly what we're working on or what is the latest and greatest based on what is showing up in HighSpot for them, so that they know they're not missing something. They're always getting the latest and greatest from us.
I would just say, in addition to that, because you're spot on, Sarah, and I think as we onboarded new employees and showed them, here's our content and how we use it, we started to really leverage HighSpot as a great onboarding tool and create these home pages for different teams to then be able to, one, get familiar with the content, but then have some self-discovery. And then the search functionality is incredible. And then we kept it simple on the enablement side. And because the links made it so easy to either link to a spot or a homepage or a specific piece of content, we love a link farm, an email just really heavy with links that points to HighSpot, but then we just recreate that within HighSpot. So it was a really great tool to meet the sales team with where they are, but then use that as a broader tool for the rest of the company. Even if we didn't have the entire company necessarily on a seat, you can always pitch a spot like with a bunch of content. We termed it microsite. So that's the term that made sense internally. So we use a lot of microsites to pitch content and to make sure that the broader company is just even familiar with the latest marketing campaigns and that they can share it with their network and that we can still see how broad it goes. So content management was why we bought it, but I just want to highlight all the reasons why it's been such a sticky tool, because we've seen the impact and overcomes challenges that we're experiencing, which is a broader strategy.
Absolutely. I love that. And I definitely want to drill into that.
To tack on to that as well, we have been able to leverage HighSpot for various other departments. So things like onboarding our own employees has been a really kind of a unique use case for the tool, and giving all employees, instead of looking at a stagnant or stale SharePoint site, they're looking at a customized, curated microsite, as Lindsay said, of materials talking about who we are, where we've been, where we're going. And it really helps, I think, with onboarding new employees, especially when you're in a remote world. I think that's become so important to have them have as much information and an ease in the way that they can navigate through that information and find what they're looking for.
I love that. Now, I know we've talked about all the different ways that you guys have been leveraging HighSpot, and I know that you guys started in terms of leveraging it from a content management perspective. I would love to understand from your perspective, what does good content management look like? And, you know, maybe in other words, what are some of your best practices for effectively managing that content? Sarah, I'd love to send this one to you.
Yeah, so clear organization is just the name of the game when it comes to content management. It's organization and version control. And one of the things that I actually find is super important when it comes to this is searchability. Because if you have a list of content or a list of assets, it can, you know, you could have millions of things in there. And so the thing that I think is really important with content management is to make sure, one, that everyone can easily search and find what they're looking for. If they're looking for something to sell to a particular industry, they can use the search field and look up that industry. And we have curated a bunch of things already. We also have the microsites that help people navigate if they're not sure what they're looking for yet and they want to browse. But it's organized in a way that's by topic, it's intentional, and it's not just a list of, you know, a never-ending list of things. And it's constantly being curated in that way. So that's really the most, I think, one of the most important things. And also, you know, really enabling our sales teams and other teams to be as self-sufficient as possible, without having to go through and navigate and find out, you know, where did this go? I thought this was here. Oh, I moved it. There's none of that with HighSpot, because even if it has something, a location has moved, you can always search for it and you can, you know, favorite spots and things like that, and even create your own spot so that your most used tools and assets are really just at the click of a button.
Amazing. And you guys have clearly been doing an amazing job, because Limeade has improved content efficiency by 78% with HighSpot, which is, you know, a ratio of the time spent using content to the time spent now looking for content. What are some of your best practices for optimizing the findability and the usability of your content, Lindsay?
Yeah, I think one, from a broader strategic lens, helping the sales team, broader company, understand the rhyme and reason to why we create content first and foremost. And so then when we start to launch content, they understand where it sits in our broader strategy, and they can start to anticipate what's coming down the pike for them. And then having a lot of channels to make new content and they're put in their awareness. And for us, we have quite a large tech stack, and we even have our own platform, Limeade, what we sell. It's our well-being solution that also provides engagement. And we would plug some of our great content that we're putting out there on that tool. And so it starts at the top of just making sure that there is a way to plug content in and let people understand where it's coming from and what it's trying to solve for. And just on that note on what it's trying to solve for, we mapped content to a buyer's journey. And their whole company is starting to kind of buy into what is this buyer's journey and what are our point of views out there. And so then when it comes to the type of content marketing is creating, it gets more scientific there. And that's where Sarah just thrives with tagging it and making sure that there's a universal way to uploading it so that internally and externally, there, again, some rhyme and reason to why we're doing it that way. And just making sure that we hold people accountable, because if it's all inputted in a strategic way, then the tool remains strategic. And I think that's what we've successfully done. And the operational rigor is really where it's at. So what Sarah just went over of this like content management and what that's helped us with and what best practices are. But from what made that 78% possible was getting the sales team bought into our strategy and then seeing that come to life within HighSpot and all the goodies. Like, you know, once you finally get to see the ebook or the video or the infographic and get to use it and pitch it and then get to pair it together, they start to see the magic.
I love that. Now, as you'd mentioned, Lindsay, it's really important to make sure that you are tracking what works and what doesn't so that you can optimize things. And Sarah, I know one of your areas of expertise is driving program and initiative performance through reporting. How have you been leveraging HighSpot Analytics to measure what works and what doesn't so you can optimize content effectiveness?
Yeah, the analytics, you know, area of HighSpot has been super helpful for us because as marketers, we're constantly generating content and iterating on existing content. And obviously over the years, that list grows and grows and becomes a bit of a bear, and it has this extensive library essentially. And so the way that we've really leveraged the analytics, specifically with activity logs and content list and scorecard, is to basically see who's using what and how often. It essentially tells us exactly what our most popular assets are so that we also know where then to focus maybe future updates. Say they're using a sales deck that we've created. Maybe we haven't touched it in a month or something like that. But we're noticing that everyone on sales loves this deck. And so knowing that, being able to see that in analytics and having that information is super helpful, because then we know we need to pay a lot of attention to the sales deck. That is the most important thing to sales. They use it constantly. We see them using it. And it also helped us, you know, interact with people through there. People can send through feedback and then we can get those requests, which is great. And then it really keeps it just this live sort of dialogue happening where we're constantly able to really improve on the assets that we do have. But then also on the other hand, looking at an asset, say we spent hours and hours, you know, and lots of, you know, manpower and things on a particular asset that's not getting any sort of use, then we kind of, it forces us to be a bit reflective to say, is this the right asset? Do people not know where it is? How do we need to enable them? Or is that content just not what they're looking for or not helpful to them? And we really wouldn't have that. And, you know, I keep going back to in a remote world, it's so key to understand that, because you're not having the hallway discussions. You're not having the water cooler, the, you know, the impromptu. So it's super helpful to have that information just at our fingertips all the time, because it really gives us a little bit more of a finger on the pulse of what's going on with the other organizations, but specifically sales.
Absolutely. Now, a lot of the times, I think some folks don't necessarily know how to think about the relationship between content and sales productivity, but by optimizing the impact of your content, how have you guys been able to influence sales productivity? Lindsay, I'd love to hear from you on this front.
Yeah, we had an awesome CMO who came and joined us, who really helped us just refine our focus. And our focus going into 2023 was talk to the right person at the right time with the right content. And we spent a lot of 2022 just really honing in on the right person and studying that buyer persona, and then understanding what type of content they want to consume and what kind of content is for more self-education at the top of the funnel versus they're showing some buying signals and they might be ready to buy and market for a solution like us. And I think a large part of our time for a long time was just spraying and praying that the content was sticking and that, you know, people just loved how much we loved it. And what Patty, our CMO, helped us really understand is it has to hit them at the right time, and seasonality is everything. And so when it comes to productivity, we love a slogan, work smarter, not harder. And that's why we made playbooks of just like what works and how do we figure out what works. Sarah showed a large part of just like what they're actually using. But then we also have leveraged Bizzable as part of our relationship with Marketo. And the attribution also shows of when key contacts are engaging with said high spot content at key moments in the funnel and kind of mapping those activities to certain milestones. Super complex because our buying cycle is about 18 months. So it's hard to point to one piece of content and then poke into that content to say, like, why did it work? But you can see a lot with the correlation of just like, okay, brochure, you get a lot of clicks late in the funnel. What does that tell us? And so I just think the right content at the right time, work smarter, not harder, helps with productivity. And like, yeah, you can say that. How did you actually do it? Again, the link farms, pointing people in the right place, finding those channels of how to proactively inform, and then let them have a voice to help inform back of it's like, I want this piece. Or like, we'll say yes, because again, it fits into this larger content strategy and what we're trying to solve for. It's not just a one-off based off one conversation. And then to Sarah's point, Gong tells us like, yeah, we have a piece on participation because the word participation is used so much. That wasn't the word that we like to use, but we preferred engagement. But if you think it's participation, we're going to make a lot of content with the word participation. So to answer your question simply, we let the sales team into the marketing's brain, let them understand why we're doing content, and then show that it is impactful if they follow the playbook and use the party tricks that their teammates are showing them.
Yeah. And I mean, I imagine it has to help though, Lindsay. I mean, you have, as you mentioned in your introduction, a background in sales at Limeade before you transitioned over to marketing. Tell us a little bit, how does your sales background impact how you approach your role and how you collaborate with sales?
Yeah. So background in sales development, inside sales, whatever you want to call it, and really figured out that when you personalize the outreach, it's a lot more effective. And that's account-based marketing, basically, is it creating these experiences that feel very targeted, very personalized, and the whole why me, why now coming to life within it. And so my background in sales was just like, how do you do that at scale? Like, yeah, you'll do some account research and be like, okay, here's your pain points. In a perfect world, I'll spend 2 hours crafting this up, but like you can't do that at scale. And so how do you package up your content in little ways that make it pretty easy to customize, segment, target, however you want to say it, but that's what you're doing is packaging up your content and positioning it in a way that says, wow, I needed to read this exactly right now or consume it. So my background in sales helped me understand like, how do we make that easy for the sales team? How do we make it feel like that is the path of least resistance versus just knocking on a lot of doors and uncovering rocks, cold outreach? How can you kind of figure out what are they interested in by using some of the MarTech that we're investing in to drive that behavior and then serve up this content that we've either curated by industry, pain point, point of view, product, solution, however you want to call it, we've tried to position and package it so they can just go, okay, here's a menu, use it versus be left to your own devices and just add logos to random things.
And you talked about how you are kind of bringing sales into the fold, right? And getting their feedback. I imagine that that has helped significantly in terms of collaboration and alignment. Can you talk to us about what that looks like now at Limeade with your sales team since you've implemented an enablement platform?
Yes. I think the best thing you can hear from a salesperson is like, got what I wanted. And like, yeah, we will deliver. And like, here you go. And the rest of you guys can all use it too. But then also getting that trust from the sales leader of the confidence of like, I know what my sales team is doing out there. And that requires collaboration. And so having a tool that one, you can still like matrix and do your own, like you can still have your ability to make it your own, but you're staying within the sandbox, gives people autonomy to do what they want, but the accountability to stick to the songbook. We always like sing from the same song sheet because it does sound better. And the whole goal of ABM is that it feels like an orchestration that, yes, it's the same message, maybe said a little bit differently. And what Highspot does a great job is like, okay, it's an art and a science. The science is there. Here's all the content. But like, yeah, you can piece it together. You can add your own because it's customizable. And I just think that there's so much content going to waste and then certain content bubbles up again. And then for collaboration, it really depends on the organization. And we've been fortunate to work with some badass sales leaders who just like want to talk shop and be like, oh, in a perfect world, I'd like to talk about this. And you're like, okay, but like, let's look at what like Gong's telling us, or like, let's look at why we're losing deals and these common themes. Like, how do we be proactive and think of something that will break through the noise and we can have a unique perspective on it? And they're like, oh yeah, that's fun to talk about too. And then they'll talk about that with us and we'll get their unique insights. But ultimately we're trying to just empathize with the buyer to prove like you have a pain point. We're helping. We're just here to help you make some progress. And if you hire us, buy us, rent us, whatever, that's good too. But I think content management really helps sales feel involved, but also marketing to have a bird's eye view and not have to fly blind.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, on that note, I'd love to understand, what are some of the key business results that you have achieved since implementing Highspot? I'd love to understand any key data points you might be able to share.
Yes, can definitely share a really fun one that we are hanging our hats on. For a long time, we had too many KPIs, let's be real. Like we were measuring everything under the sun and a lot of them were just vanity metrics. And our CMO came in and really helped us focus on being like, what is the thing that matters most? And when you really think about it for what we sell into the enterprise space, a SaaS solution, like win rate really matters. And unfortunately, we were stagnant for 5 years, same win rate. So at that way, like if you're going to go that way, the only way to grow is by volume. And it's exhausting just adding a lot at the top of the funnel from a marketing's perspective. And so after a huge overhaul of our sales enablement, we redid a lot of the home pages within Highspot. We made a company KPI that was making sure 85% usage each week across the company. What we were successfully able to do was increase our win rate by 75%, which is huge in a market like ours. We can't take credit for it and be like, yeah, it's content that did it. Like it's a huge team effort. But we can point back to, we were singing from the same songbook. We know why we're winning. We know why we're losing. And we increased our velocity and win rate. That's best case scenario. So no, it's not a causation of Highspot, but is it correlated? Absolutely. So we feel really proud of that. And it was nice that we were all marching towards the same metric and really connecting the sales and marketing organizations.
I love that. Well, thank you, Sarah and Lindsay, so much for joining me today on the podcast. I appreciated the insights you shared and your lens on both sales and marketing alignment with enablement. So thank you both.
Thank you. So much fun.
Thank you.
To our audience, thank you for listening to this episode of the Win-Win Podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for more insights on how you can maximize enablement success with Highspot.